At 105.3, it's the Garland Robinette Show. To climb inside Garland's think tank, call 504-260-1870 or 866-889-0870. Now, from the heart of New Orleans, here's Garland.
You're looking for good news? I think we got some, America. Welcome back to the think tank and the tank this hour. Bill Hines, chairman of the New Orleans Arts Council, also happens to be with Jones Walker Law Firm, although I don't think he ever works there. I've known him for years. I never see him working. He's just out helping the community, raising funds, and once again, he's at it again. And we got Roger Wilson here, president of Broadway South. And I promise you, this is not going to be an interesting little program about a possibility. This looks like something that really may come to fruition, and it's not just going to be one or two interesting little things. This is something that could improve all of our lives. Stay with us and learn something. 260-1870. Toll free anywhere in the country, 866-889-0870. And, of course, anywhere in the world, WWL.com.
To access Garland's Think Tank, call 504-260-1870 or 866-889-0870.
Gentlemen, welcome. Bill Hines, chairman of New Orleans Arts Council, Roger Wilson, president of Broadway South. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Garland. Glad to be with you. It's the first time I've been on this station post-Katrina, so I said I've been really pleased to listen to you.
You actually came up here and did a couple of shows, didn't you?
Pre-Katrina, yeah. I guess in your old, I don't know if you've announced that you're in a different place now, but in your old site a lot. And this is, I guess we're here just as you're moving in.
Well, actually, it's still temporary right now. Monday we officially move in. All the poor guys and girls are still in that blown-out building right next to the Superdome. And, I mean, it is, for people that think we've totally recovered downtown, they ought to take a trip through that building. It's just beyond belief. Roger Wilson.
Thank you, Garland.
Thanks. Welcome. Thank you guys for coming in. You know, I read the thing in Gambit about Broadway South, and I was interested. I said, well, that's interesting. And then I was talking to Spud about what may happen, and then I've had a chance in between breaks here talking to you and Bill. And this something could really be big, right?
Well, I think if we're lucky, this could translate into the whole redevelopment of New Orleans. It could be the economic engine to drive this entire economy. It will rebrand us before the nation as having reached inside ourselves and used culture as the means to springboard back from this tragedy. And I think it'll bring, besides the obvious dollars around the idea itself, I think it will in time attract a new kind of citizen here who demands this kind of cultural offering to relocate to a city. And we will finally be able to give it to them. And that could spell incredible gains for the city.
Explain the concept.
The concept is very simple. It's taking what we know works, which were the film incentives to lure Hollywood here, and offering the same kind of incentives to the producers of live entertainment, of just about every kind of live entertainment, be it theater, opera, ballet, jazz, or what we call variety entertainment, which could be Cirque Soleil, the Grammy Awards, or Ellen DeGeneres doing her TV show from Canal Street, and giving them the same kind of bottom line savings we gave Hollywood. And we know that incentive works because before the film incentives, we made about $20 million a year in movies, and this year we're going to top $500 million. But it's not just any kind of live theater we're trying to attract. We're trying to attract the first-run shows that, by tradition, open in cities like San Francisco, Boston, Chicago, now Seattle, on their way to New York. The reason we want to do that is we want the name cast that are headed for Broadway that are always in those shows. We want them here in New Orleans because then that will allow us to attract all of tourism around this offer and fill those theaters with a $5 billion tourism crowd that we had before Katrina.
I just can't imagine being able to go and see a Broadway show here rather than not having to travel to New York, San Francisco, Philadelphia, Chicago to see it.
Well, that's right.
This is a real possibility.
Well, not only, and I'll let Bill elaborate on it, it's not only a possibility, but it's something that we went to New York a few weeks ago. We've met with all the big organizations that produce these shows in those cities on their way to Broadway. And Bill describes it best. At first, there was sort of skepticism. And by the end, when we told him just how receptive this city could be on both federal and state incentives and on the incentives tied into this, and how if you did attract the cruise ship tourist, the convention tourist, the leisure tourist, the metro citizen, the regional citizen, they would have the audience they demand, their eyes popped open. And I'll let Bill elaborate on that point.
Bill?
Well, I think, Garland, the real issue here is it's sort of maybe an inside game, an outside game, although Rodgers, a native that came home. You heard his eloquent exposition on this when he started. I was just kind of smiling because he's got the vision thing. And actually, he and, we'll get to this later, I'm sure, Ed Murray and some others have drafted this bill based upon the film and video tax credits. But also, they have received input from the people in New York. They've gone basically to the customer to say, nah, I need the wording like this, or I need the credit like this. My role, I think, with Rodgers been as twofold. One is, I hate to say it, but just nuts and bolts. I mean, this is just raw economic development like we were doing before the storm, whether it's Northrop Grumman or the Hornets or whatever it is. And that needs to be applied to this. Secondly, Roger has been away, for 25 or 30 years, and he and I are the same age. And, yeah, this town, Garland, can be cynical and negative and that sort of thing. And we've had to kind of push to get this done. But I'll close this comment with what I did like. I told Roger, maybe my lawyer hat, we went to the Roger set all these New York meetings up. We did get a couple of others through other connections. And they started the meeting, Garland, with like a perfunctory kind of, we'll give you 30 minutes, and the arms kind of folded and looking kind of tight. And I think it was more like, well, we have to at least listen to these Katrina people to be nice. And then an answer is, it's money. I mean, it's bottom line money. When they started hearing, and it's, are you telling me, and Roger went through existing credits? I mean, Garland, a lot of these, when it comes to the physical theater, and y'all need to get into that, there's the physical buildings, and then there's the art, the production. But a lot of these credits already exist, and Roger's just sort of adding to them. And when they started, you know, hearing these things, they would bring in their CFO or financial people in the room, and a couple of these meetings would go from 30 minutes to 2 hours. And that's when you knew you had a win, because you were dealing with a negative cynic, and he really didn't care about the heart part of this. He cared about money, and that's why I think Roger will be successful.
Taking a break. We're coming right back. I want to hear a whole lot more about this Broadway South. Got a couple of questions lining up. You want to ask questions of your own? Give us a call, 260-1870.
To connect to Garland's Think Tank, call 504-260-1870 or 866-889-0870.
All right, we're building bones of understanding around this Broadway South. They got Bill Hines up here, chairman of the New Orleans Arts Council, Roger Wilson, president of Broadway South. Bill, you were just explaining to me, because I had asked, if many of these credits were already in place to get this incredible proposal done, why wasn't more getting done? And you said,
well, and I think, Garland, I'll even make an analogy that Tim Ryan's a little worried about. These existing credits are what I think your listeners are seeing being used to build out a lot of these condo conversions. I mean, much, you know, it's happening mainly downtown in the Warehouse District and the CBD. If you talk to a Tim Ryan, what he always worries about, and I don't want to get Tim in hot water on the air, but is, we're going to have a lot of condos, but where are the jobs? Okay, so now let's take that to theaters. The credits basically exist to build out the theaters, just like the condos. But a theater investor, if it were you and I, would say, but then where's the product? Now I've got a great theater, and it was built cheaply, but I'm losing money on it because there's no product. Rogers credits, and say Rogers credits, modeled on the film and video credits that we hope the state legislature and governor adopts, provides the product to go into the physical theater. And that would be a new credit.
And Roger, how'd you do that?
Well, we drafted legislation, Senate Bill 17, House Bill 155, that really outlines very detailed what we know these producers want. It's mirrored after the film credits, but the industry's a little different. And if you give these, I always say, they don't call it show art, they call it show business. And if you give these producers, and the film industry has proved this, if you give them what they need to save money, they will come to where the money can be saved. And by offering these credits to them, if the legislature gives us this baton to run with, and it really is up to our legislature right now. And I always tell the different senators and representatives I speak with, I don't really see what the state has to lose by trying this, because it doesn't cost the state anything. These credits only come when someone spends money. So you only give some credit back if someone has spent some money first. And if you think about it, the state is making zero off the performing arts industry right now. If we could be half as successful as the film industry, let's say we're generating $200 million 5 years from now, does the state want to own 75% of a $200 million industry, or does it want to own 100% of a zero industry? And the answer is the first. You want to own 75% of a $200 million industry.
My memory may be faulty here, and correct me if I'm wrong. When I read the Gambit piece, there was a line in there somewhere that said, the movie credits that have brought so much revenue and so many movie productions here could go away like that if another city decided to give better credit, give better tax breaks, but not so this. Did I read that correctly?
That's correct. Well,
and
I don't
why?
Know if they'll go away, but like Mississippi just adopted their own film credits.
But why would we be more bulletproof on this Broadway
because this
South?
This is permanent. You see, this you can't just put up a Sanger and an Orpheum and a Joy and a Mahalia and a Lowe's State Palace overnight. You can create new incentives for the film business on paper overnight, but we have the infrastructure. You can't create a tourism economy overnight. You can't create museums and restaurants and everything we have to service this industry. So this is what makes New Orleans such a logical place for this. We are the city of this country, perfectly poised to be the alternative to New York as far as this kind of offer, because we're already a show town. This is the only city I know where you step out of a theater and you step into a theater. You know, this is a 365-day-a-year musical.
Somebody should use that as a slogan in an advertising campaign.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to. And and we have the hotels, we have the restaurants, we have the museums, we have the workers who will take care of the people who will come to see these shows. Mississippi or Texas can't just copy us overnight with that. And we have it statewide.
Taking a break, going to news. We're coming back. Phone lines are starting to fill up. Give us a call if you'd like to get in. 260-1870. David, two Davids asking about this process. We'll be back. This is WWL.
The passcode to Garland's Think Tank is 504-260-1870 or 866-889-0870.
All right, Ed, I find this topic so interesting. I'll get caught up in talking about it and never allow the audience in. Let's take call quick real quick, and then I'm going to come back and talk to Bill Hines, Roger Wilson. In the meantime, David, on line one, you are on with Bill and Roger. Go ahead, David.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes, sir.
I am familiar with you from your campaign for council, and I commend you not only for dragging this idea from that campaign and trying to make it a reality, but also for your Katrina relief efforts. And Mr. Hines, your name and that of your law firm, Jones Walker, is always in the middle of everything that's trying to make this city better, and it does not go unnoticed. As far as Broadway South is concerned, I've followed it through Gambit Weekly, and think I understand the basic nuts and bolts, and I wish you well. I think it's a fantastic idea, one of the best to come out of the post-Katrina era. I'm a pragmatist as well. You touched on it, and you're talking about the money. That's the bottom line. What can you do to convince me and the rest of the community that these producers that you meet and have met with are behind it, and that the real money, whether it's investment bankers, local private investors, or any other source, is a reality, because that's where it has to start. Can you address that?
Yeah, well, thank you very much, David, for your comments. I think on behalf of Bill and I, thank you very much. The best evidence I have that this is real is based on these visits we've made to New York. We've secured letters of interim commitment from these theatrical groups and these investment groups, who are addressed to the legislature and the governor, who are basically saying, we are intrigued by this, we're interested, if you pass this legislation, we'll come down and we'll really investigate it. And a few of those people have even agreed to come down here and testify before committee with their presence. And I believe actions speak a lot louder than words. So the fact that these people have given me these letters and are willing to come down and put their face in front of the legislative committees, the House Ways and Means, and the Senate Revenue Fisc, I think is a very good sign. The other one, and I'll let Bill address it, is the reaction we got based on a lot of the figuring that his firm has done on showing these investors just how much money they get back via these infrastructure investments.
Well, yeah, the New York trip really sealed it for me, because we met, as I said, with the top people, and a lot of people that also in the financial industry, Garland, that don't really necessarily care about the arts. In fact, I was asked by one guy, so this will be good for, he specifically mentioned Plaquemine Parish, so maybe he was interested. He said, so if I wanted to use these same tax credits, not the Broadway South, but all these building credits and go zone benefits, to buy or put a plant in Plaquemine Parish, this guy's a big industrial investor who's looking at these buildings, this works there too? I said, absolutely. He said, you go buy a billion-dollar plan at Plaquemine Parish, you get 50% accelerated depreciation as long as it's up and running by December 31st, 2010. And that's a whole other show, Garland, but we need, I tell you, we did come back. In fact, you know, Roger put together a legislative meeting about a week ago where we should also give him credit. Members of the New Orleans City Council, Jefferson Council, and state legislators all stood up and supported this. But what I told them is, Garland, was very depressing. This gets back to Blakely and that group. Most of these people, KKR, I think that's the biggest kind of fund of that type in the world, certainly in America, was totally unfamiliar with these GoZone benefits. I mean, they were basically explaining these to us again. And so, Garland, what's worrying, these are federal benefits. And so
is
I think...
Is this a hedge fund you're talking
about?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, it's a hedge fund and also private equity. And this is Henry Kravis.
They didn't know what you were talking about?
Nope. Because, I mean, I think it's dismissive of New Orleans. We need to relentlessly, and I don't mean just the tourism trips, and that's what I think what Mr. Blakely and Mayor Nagin that say they're doing in New York, we need to go to the financial markets in New York, L.A., Chicago, Boston, over and over and over, but in the next 6 months, because if they don't start to build these things now, then it's going to be too late. Last comment back to Roger's point.
Excuse me. When you say if they don't begin to build them now, you don't mean your project.
Well, his project, too, if it's not in about another year. I'm not a construction expert, okay. But Garland, in the most damaged parishes, and so that would be Orleans, St. Bernard, Plaquemine. I'm not going to try to name them all. I know it's those three.
So it's got to start so it can be finished by 2010.
That's right.
We have a number.
December 2010.
Yes, I know a number of people looking at deals here, and they're trying to guess, and they don't like to guess with tens of millions of dollars because it's growing. All or nothing. If they're finished by, and if it's in like Jefferson or St. Tammany, it's December 31st, 2008. If they have it up and running by then, they get their tax credit. They miss it by a day, they lose them all. So they need to get up and running. The other thing I wanted to mention, because this is what you will hear, we've heard from a couple of just naysayers, but they're more cynics. Well, but Roger or Bill, what if the people don't come to watch the plays? What if? If that's your worst case, then it doesn't cost the state a nickel. So that's why they should pass the legislation. If nobody shows up, it was, I guess, a kind of a sad, wasted effort, but it didn't cost anybody anything. So pass the legislation, and then let's see if it'll work. And I guess
and we have some brand new buildings.
And you'll have brand new buildings. And not just the theaters, but all the adjacent property. A lot of these things, which we all kind of cringe when we walk by on Canal Street, could be completely different kind of venues with a completely different offer, which would attract perhaps people living on Canal Street in those second and third story floors of all those buildings. Maybe that could be the new young professional hip place to live.
Garland, it's very clear that if you were out of New York, because our real estate to us is expensive, to them it's so cheap, and you were going to buy the Sanger or the Lowe's, they can't afford to have blight around it. That's why I feel sorry sometimes for the Ritz-Carlton. They'd buy the whole block, or frankly, they'd buy two or three blocks around it, and they'd just upgrade the whole thing. They're not going to screw around with an island surrounded by blight.
Taking a break, coming right back, talking about something pretty exciting. When you say it, Broadway South sounds interesting. When you start hearing details on it, it sounds like a business proposition that benefits not only New Orleans, but the entire state. And with this few of these projects on board, sounds a little exciting to me. What do you think? 260-1870-WWL, New Orleans.
Now, WWL on FM at 105.3. To access Garland's Think Tank, call 504-260-1870 or 866-889-0870.
Talking off mic with Bill Hines and Roger Wilson, talking about Broadway South. And I was thinking to myself in our conversation, I've had a demographer, campaign analyst, et cetera, out of Shreveport, who I have on the show on a regular basis. And the last census, he said, Garland, this is going to be a linear city. This thing's going to line up on I-12, and all of these regions better find a way to eventually start working together, because all these separate parishes, especially the ones that are one parish off of that I-12, aren't going to make it. Well, what you guys said was the city council, the mayor, Jefferson Parish Council, they're all working together on this.
Not only that, but I just returned from a tour of the northern part of the state with the folks in Shreveport and Bossier City and Opelousas and Lafayette and Lake Charles, and have just gotten nothing but tremendous support. Those city councils and all those cities have given me proclamations of support. I want to thank them for welcoming me up there last week. And really, because we have, Garland, this hasn't been touched on, we have 16 historical landmark theaters across this state. We have the Shaw Center in Baton Rouge. 16. We have the Shaw Center in Baton Rouge, the Strand in Shreveport, the newly restored Crowley Opera House in Crowley. This state has a plethora of infrastructure that will benefit from this. And the great thing about culture is it transcends all political, racial, parish lines. It's for everyone.
In the bottom line, I'm sitting in New York and I'm an investor, or I'm a Broadway executive, or I'm a director and writer of plays. I'm in the business. And I'm already in San Francisco, Los Angeles, Chicago, all the big markets. You come to me, a smaller market, but we've got infrastructure that nobody has in the entire country, but we got GoZone tax credits to 2010, and nobody else has that, right?
Well, no, not till 2010, no. But what those producers are going to really stand up and pay attention to, we're going to give them about 30% back on their production
budget.
Well,
that's what I'm talking about. We've got the infrastructure
that
they don't have to pay for.
That's right.
And there's a big profit to be made.
Right, they don't have to fix the theater, and this will be the most cost-effective place for them to do their show.
So this isn't artsy, craftsy, kumbaya. This is hard, cold business where it looks like they can come in and make some really good money. And we benefit tremendously.
And not only that, we're going to provide an audience for them that comes from 700,000 cruise ship visitors, that comes from the normal convention visitors, that'll come from the university students, that will come from the local patron, and that will come from the leisure tourists. We're going
to
give them the audience.
All we have to do is look at the prototype of Arkansas and that little bitty town and attract people from all over the world. So you'd get a hell of a lot more people than just cruise ships and tourists. You'd get people specifically coming to the city for that.
Well, I believe if you really put this level of talent on, let's just don't even use something from New York, the Bolshoi Ballet from Moscow. We tell them if you start your tour in Louisiana, normally they would just play Washington, New York and go home. We say start your tour in Louisiana. Start it in Baton Rouge at the Shaw Center. You'll get people from Dallas, Atlanta, Memphis and Nashville to come see the Bolshoi Ballet, the greatest ballet in the world, out of Moscow.
And you know what's interesting about how the cosmos are lining up from this? One man's opinion. You go to West Louisiana and they say Texas makes gambling legal. Bingo. Our gambling in Louisiana is going to take a nosedive. I read where Harris said they're doing better financially, but the majority of their bettors are from Louisiana. And now that Mississippi is opening those casinos, we're seeing a bleed over to them. This could be the one thing that pulls everybody back in if the gambling industry weakens.
Well, and the thing I like most about this is that it's a win now for the state. You know, a lot of the things that we have in the offing are 10 and 15 year plans, you know, to rebuild and restart.
That's right.
This is a win. It's not dependent upon the federal government's largesse. It shows us using our greatest resource, our culture, to pull ourselves out of this mess. And it rings of self-reliance that we looked inside ourselves and we came up with an idea and we're using our strengths and we don't need anyone to really help us.
I like the sound of that. How does this affect education? You were talking about this earlier.
Well, to me, that is the most important aspect. I mean, money.
Why?
Well, because what this will mean for the kindergarten, grammar school, and high school children of this state to be exposed to this kind of culture at this point in their life, how that plays out in their lives. You know, I once heard this saying, you've never seen a man in a police lineup who has a second mortgage. Well, I'll bet you there's not too many kids that participate in drive-bys that can quote Shakespeare. And to get this kind of education into the curriculum of our schools, the mentoring that could come at the school level from these artists that come down there and go to our schools and interact with these kids would just be, it's the greatest education. And there's reams of evidence that children exposed to culture at an early age has more of a profound and positive effect on their life than anything else. And for the universities, this will be a laboratory where whether you're an accounting student, a law student, a business major, a marketing major, you'll come, you'll work in these businesses, and when it comes time to graduate and you would normally go to Nashville or Atlanta or New York, you'll say to yourself, well, wait a minute. I have a few years experience working in this industry. You know what? I love it. I've made a name for myself. I'm going to stay in New Orleans or Baton Rouge or Shreveport, and I'm going to start my business here. And that's where the brain drain becomes a brain gain.
You know, what you just said, I don't know how many people out there listening really buy it, but and I'm an artist, I'm a musician, and I've always wondered, is that really true? But I had Terrence Blanchard, one of our best musicians in the entire world, here the other day, and I can't remember the gentleman's name that helped Terrence bring the Thelonious Monk Jazz Institute to New Orleans, which is huge, and what they put those kids through in that program is like a music boot camp. And they were telling me that they can literally tell in history classes, English classes, science classes, math classes, which kids went through the arts in lower school and middle school, because it literally does something to the brain in the creative side and in the ability of mathematics in particular. And that struck a chord with me, I think, much more than I've heard so many times over the years, that the arts are important because it expands us. It literally has an effect on the brain.
Well, it brings structure to a life that is often lacking of structure. And when kids don't have structure is when they get in trouble. And this does impose a really great ethic on them. It helps them see they're not alone in the world. They see a lot of things played out in front of them. They realize they're part of history. And it enters their dialogue. A lot of our problems with the kids are they don't have a dialogue with each other. It's just resolved in a very bad way, the problems.
And see, I'm convinced my buddy Bill Hines can make a little water out of rocks. So when you start making money with this, you give some of the money to him, and I go to him, and then I convince him to build a whole raft of trade schools for these young black men in this city that we keep saying 15, 20 years out, we're going to fix the family, we're going to give them an education. How about giving them a trade right now that they can get out of the hell they're living in? So coming right back, we're talking about Broadway South. Bill Hines, Roger Wilson, stay with us. 260-1870. Roger Wilson, president of Broadway South. Tell me what this means for local people. That's what Spud always asks.
Well, this is tremendous. I mean, for our local musicians, our local workers, plumbers, electricians, our hotel personnel, just take the musician example. I mean, if you think about it, take a Broadway musical. Those shows want to open with a cast album in New York. So not only would the producer get a credit for doing the show here live, where our musicians will play in the pit in the orchestra, but if they do their cast album here, our musicians will be playing on those cast albums during a recording session. And after they do their morning recording session job and their early evening theater job, because this affects live jazz venues, they can go play at the nighttime in a live jazz performance.
So three jobs in one.
Three gigs in one day for a local musician. The same for a scenic designer, the same for a lighting technician, the same for a cab driver. Our restaurants, they'll now have two extra sittings, the pre-theater dinner and the after-theater dinner. It's a job-creating monster, and it will also be, they don't consider them permanent jobs, but the construction jobs associated with this will be tremendous. And unlike the movie business, which they don't consider movie set jobs permanent, they consider them temporary, jobs associated with theaters are considered permanent, and they'll be open for federal training dollars to help train our workers.
Bill Hines, every time I hear about one of these projects, I try to mute my excitement over it, because we've had so many things that have been, oh, this is going to be great, and then nosedives. But GoZone credits are going to be here for quite a while. We're the only one getting them. On a scale of 1 to 10, what do you think the chances of the legislature passing what you guys need?
Seeing the bipartisan support in regionally and Democrats, Republicans, I mean, he says 8.5. Yeah, I got to believe 9.5. The governor says she supports it. Lieutenant Governor Landrieu supports it. I mean, we have not met anyone opposed to it, and I can't think why they would be. There's no reason not to take a chance.
Roger, where do we go from here?
We really hope that our legislature takes this moment in time to, I think, bestow upon the state an unprecedented opportunity. When we get, I call it the baton, passing the baton, I've thrown it to the legislature. If they throw it back in the form of a new law signed by the governor that will offer these incentives to the performing arts industry, we turn these interim letters of commitment into real commitments, into real productions, into real investments. And, you know, this city, what I call this city with all this happening, you call it Houston. It'll have Houston's economy.
Houston with character.
I call it Chicago, not Houston, Chicago.
Bill Hines, Roger Wilson, exciting stuff. Really appreciate coming to the show and explaining the details. When I read about it in Gambit, it sounded good. I didn't realize it sounded this good. This is WWDL. Let's do some more thinking tomorrow. Have a great night.